It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. We welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, UC Saros, 8 years, $7.74 million per season, right around $62 million in total in the contract that will kick in a year from now. So he will be 30 when this thing kicks in. The deal is done. What do you make of this decision and this contract by Barry Trotz of the Predators for UC Saros?
Well, you can't really ever say that Barry Trotz isn't transparent about what he's about to do, can you?
You cannot.
Because he came on the show Monday, and I think he made it abundantly clear he was going to sign UC Saros to an extension. And I said yesterday, or 2 days ago on the program, I said, look, you know, I pick apart everything Rand Carthon says, and I think Rand Carthon oftentimes is not telling the truth. I think Barry Trotz is telling the truth. And if Barry Trotz is lying about signing UC Saros, then I'm just a dope. And he totally pulled the wool over my eyes. But he made it abundantly clear since the second they lost to Vancouver, he made it abundantly clear against my wishes and probably the wishes, I would think, of the majority of the Predators fan base. I think Barry Trotz and Willie Donick and Derek Mason are in the minority as far as the how people feel about extending UC Saros for big money. And unfortunately, our voice doesn't count. You know, the majority doesn't rule here. His voice is the only vote that matters. And so he made it clear he was going to sign Saros. He made it clear that Saros wanted to be here. And I understand. I understand the idea of a coach. And at heart, Barry's a coach. I understand the idea of a coach wanting to commit to his goaltender and wanting to know that he's got goaltending that he can rely on, but I just don't believe in these long contracts, and I don't believe you win in the NHL because of your goalie, and I think this is a very David Poile move. And if you make David Poile moves, you will get David Poile results. And I am not interested in David Poile results. I'm interested in doing better than David Poile results, and so we'll see.
Problem is, I basically agree with Jared, but I must say, like, you have to bring your Rand Carthon obsession into everything? Like, that you have to somehow invoke his name in everything?
I think it's important to be fair, right? Like,
I can tell. You think it's very important to be fair when it comes to Rand Carthon.
I am very skeptical of everything that Rand Carthon says. Like, when it comes to, you know, Calvin Ridley picked the Titans because his wife is from Huntsville, or, you know, we knew that the Falcons were going to take Michael Penix. You know, it's like, it's really hard for me to believe that kind of stuff. And so I don't want to seem like, oh, well, the one general manager that I agree with more often than not, Barry Trotz, comes on my show and I'm just going to believe everything he says and I don't believe the other guy, and then people get all worked up about it. But I believed Barry because he was just so adamant about his commitment to Saros. And I think everybody has a fear, at least I do. I really don't like being lied to. I don't like being taken advantage of. And I'm open to the fact that maybe Barry could have been taking advantage of me or lying to me about his commitment to Saros, but I just didn't believe that. I believe that he was authentic in what he kept saying, making it abundantly clear that he was going to extend the goalie. And like I started this off with Robbie, I mean, you can't say Barry Trotz isn't honest about what he's about to do, because he's done that every time. I the day that they cut Matt Duchene, Barry had come on the show the day before.
Yep.
And he didn't drop any, like, you know, obvious clues about Matt Duchene, but he had a line in there where he said, you know, it's my job to figure out. This team's not winning, and it's my job to figure out if you're a part of the solution or if you're a part of the problem. And after they cut Duchene, I'm like, oh, my God, that's what he was talking about. He's talking about Duchene and Johansson, and are you a part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Barry Trotz keeps it real, and he made it abundantly clear to the fans. I did not want this contract. I think it's too long. You know, now the trade protection's a big part of this. You know, what is that going to be? Barry did make it abundantly clear, I think, that this is not a full no move, because he said on the show that there has to be a limit as far as the no move is concerned. So that's kind of the fascinating point. But I was disappointed last night when Elliott tweeted out the contract extension. I was not surprised.
So to that point, you know, we were talking about this earlier in the show. I think Predators fans when last season ended and they were going through their transition and he was buying out Duchesne and trading Johansson and all that stuff, I think the Predators fan base was okay with a little pain, because he said that. He's like, be patient with us. This could take a while. And they've not really backed off that with their words. I mean, they were talking about that again at the end of the press conference about how next season there could be some pain involved too. I mean, to me, this is a win-now move, right? Like, you've extended your 29-year-old goalie for 8 years. Like, if I'm a Predators fan, I'm like, okay, so you have no interest in a rebuild. You're trying to win right now. So how does this affect, do you think, the fan base, their patience with Brunette, their patience with Trotz, and the approach that the Predators should take in free agency?
So I can only speak for myself, and I can anticipate what the fan base might think, but as a fan, I think I'll just speak for how I feel. I think this is the first move that Barry Trotz has made where now Barry Trotz has stamped his name to something. And as a fan, I am tired of losing in the playoffs with UC Soros. You know, what's the old Branch Rickey line? I can finish in last place with you or without you. Like, I can lose in the playoffs without you. You know, it's to give you the long-term contract. Now, it's not really that much of a raise. Soros making $5 million now. He's going to make $7.5 million, basically, or $7.75 million or whatever it is. You know, he's going to make a little bit more, and the cap is going to go up. And this cap, Joe, is real, unlike the other cap, although Vegas has certainly had their way with the rules of this cap. But I do think that the Predators fan base, and again, I'm really speaking from my own feelings here, but I do feel like there's a frustration level with UC Soros in the playoffs if not winning games. And whether that's his fault or not, I mean, I don't think we ever get up there when a guy gets inducted into the Hall of Fame and they say, you know, this goalie had a record of 184-55, but he had three great forwards and four great defensemen in front of him and a great coach and a great GM. Like, we never do that, do we? We talk about,
I mean,
about
some people do who want to look beyond the surface. I mean, whether it was his fault or not, that's kind of important, isn't it? Like, is he good enough or not? I'm with you on this deal, but like the idea of like the playoff record or whatever being on this, I mean, come on. They have not been good enough to win these playoff games.
I'm a huge Herbert fan. I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan. Like, I would love for
You're also
Justin
a huge
Herbert
Sam Darnold fan.
To be the quarterback. We'll see. Sam's going to start in Minnesota this
Can't
year.
Can't
we'll
wait.
See.
Can't wait.
So,
me either.
I'm a huge Herbert fan, and I would love for Herbert to be the quarterback of the Titans. I think Herbert is just great. But when he signed that $52 million a year contract, I said, look, that playoff collapse against Jacksonville last year, and everybody blamed Brandon Staley because he's a dope, and everybody, now it's your job to win that game. Like, now, $52 million a year, it's your job to win that game. You start making that money. Trevor Lawrence, it's your job to win. You know, it's not a, well, you know, Calvin Ridley dropped the ball, Christian Kirk got hurt, defense wasn't good, this what? No, it's your job to win. And I think goalie in the NHL, same way. You know, the one thing Pecorine did for this franchise after he signed his big contract was he went out and he won. And he stole games in the playoffs and stole series in the playoffs. I mean, he stole that Anaheim series in 2016. He stole that Chicago series and the Anaheim series in 2017. He stole the Anaheim series in 2011. I mean, at some point, UC Soros got to start stealing some series. And it hasn't happened yet. He lost that terrible Arizona team in the bubble. He was terrible in that series. And so at some point, you got to start to win. And when you're being paid the kind of contract, I mean, this is a franchise goalie contract. When you're paid this kind of contract, you've got to produce. The other guys who have these kind of contracts on this team right now, Philip Forsberg is a 40-plus goal scorer, and he has lived up so far to it. Roman Josi has been either nominated for or won the Norris pretty much every year since he signed his contract. He's lived up to it. Well, UC Soros has been good, but now he's got to be better because this team has got to win because of him with the contract they're giving him.
So, to that point, I'm with you on the playoff stuff. Like he does have to be better in the playoffs. Now they've got to find a way to put a better team around him. But I still look at this roster, Jared, and I think to myself, all right, you know, Ryan O'Reilly's not getting any younger. Yossi, as great as he is, isn't getting any younger. Forsberg, go up and down the list.
Like, you think they're in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, do the timelines match up? I mean, it kind of feels like they're going to be, unless there is some major surgery done here, and we'll see. I mean, you know, we're getting ready to get into free agency and trades and all that stuff. So, but unless there's a major move that right now I just don't know that exists, it feels like they're going to be pretty good, but probably not good enough. And how do you get out of that with the timelines being what they are?
So I actually, the one thing that I am kind of okay with is I am kind of okay with what I think Barry Trotz is doing right now, which is I think he's looking at this in two waves. And the first wave is the right now wave with O'Reilly and originally McDonough and that group. And the second wave being when Kemble and Wood and Mullendyke and that group are all of age. Not when they're all just breaking into the league, but when those guys are, you know, becoming more established 24-year-old players, which is about 4 or 5 years away. And I think he's kind of breaking those two up. And Ian and I were talking about this during a break yesterday when it comes to Steven Stamkos. If you sign Steven Stamkos to a 3-year contract, and I don't know exactly what the offers for Stamkos might be, but if you sign Stamkos to a 3-year contract and you sign, you know, a defenseman like the Tyler Myers deal that he signed yesterday, if you avoid the 5- and 6- and 7-year contracts, then what you're likely to do is set it up so that you transition from one era to the next where guys are going out. You then have more cap space. And the idea I think the Trotz has is that Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros will be a part of both of those waves, kind of similar to what, you know, Marchand, Bergeron, Chara, and Tuukka Rask were kind of to the Bruins 2011-ish team and the Bruins 2020s team. I think that's kind of the plan. So I'm okay with that. But at some point, like, what can't happen is you can't have the drafting that they had between 2017 and 2020 where all these first-round picks are useless, or else you're going to get fired. Like, if these guys don't become really good, because there's no way to go get good young players if you're going to win enough to be picking 24th, then these players, these Mullendykes, these Matthew Woods, whoever they pick tonight, like, those players better be good, or else you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and you're probably going to lose your job.
We didn't even have time today to get into how you think Shea Weber is like Dan Hamhuis out there.
I mean, hey, I was thinking about this, about these long-term deals that the Predators have made over the years. And, like, since the Johansson contract, well, even before that, I mean, the two long-term contracts that have worked out for the Predators are the 6x6 for Forsberg that he signed originally.
Yep.
And the Pecorine contract. Other than that, every single long contract they have signed I'm not going to say it's been a disaster, but it hasn't been finished. Arvidsson didn't finish his contract. Johansson didn't finish his contract. Turris didn't finish his contract. Duchesne, obviously, didn't finish his contract.
Yeah, I mean, you got to choose the right guys.
Shea Weber didn't finish his contract.
Shea Weber was 15 years, but yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
didn't finish his contract. And, you know,
case closed. Jared, get him out of the hall. Get him out.
If you sign Jared. Tom Brady to a 15
year contract,
then we talk about a contract.
Barrett Jackman, the same player.
Let's talk about
Tom Brady. He's bringing up Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, I think, is the definition of a Hall of Famer.
Shea Weber isn't Gordie Howe.
If you sign Tom Brady to a 15 year contract today, he'd be 60 years old probably when that contract's up. And I think he'd still be a Titan 15 years from now if they signed him to a 15-year contract.
I'm sure. I'm sure he would. Jared.
By the way, it also, talk about Fakakta. This idea that Shea Weber is still an active player in the NHL and is in the Hall of Fame is also something that I'm having a hard time kind
of it's a little bit
my head around.
A different situation there, no doubt about it. Thank you, Jared. We'll be listening today at 2 o'clock.
See you guys.
All righty. Jared Stillman, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll react to what he had to say. More of your thoughts on the UC Saros contract. 8 years, $7.74 million per season. The Predators have locked up their goaltender long term. Was it the right move? Your thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Ally 400 race at Nashville Super Speedway. Coverage presented by Green Trees will begin at 1:30, with the race starting at 2:30. Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville, and a new location in West Nashville, available online at greentreescompany.com. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week, Deacon's New South in downtown Nashville, where Southern service meets exceptional service. Their dry-aged steaks and chef-inspired dishes, complemented by inventive sides and desserts featuring locally sourced produce. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 while supplies last. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. UC Saros and the Nashville Predators agreeing to an 8-year contract extension, $7.74 million per season. It will kick in, not next season, but the year after. So a year from now, this thing will kick in. He'll be 30 when the contract starts. He'll be 38 when it's done. So the question is, was it the right move? It's been, judging by the reaction that I've seen, Joe, from late last night into our show today, which we have a lot of you with us today. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Pretty split from the Predators fan base. I've seen some that love UC Saros, think that it's going to be a great deal for the Predators, are very happy with the money and the way that things have come in. And I've seen some that look at it and they can't get over the 8-year deal part of it and think it's just an awful decision. So a very split reaction that I've seen from Predators fans to this point.
Yeah, I would – yeah, I don't know that – like Jared kind of broke it down like it's a big disparity. I don't know that it's a big disparity, but I would say more – people than not are not excited about this. And again, it's not a that's not a knock on Saros. It's just the reality of the situation, the reality of the difficulty of trying to put together a championship roster and the spot they're in right now, and the fact that they have this really promising prospect who they basically have just said, yeah, he's going to be elsewhere. I mean, or maybe, I mean, Trotz may argue with that and say, I didn't say that. Well, what, you know, but. The reality of this, to me, is that you had to make a choice between these two guys, and now you have.
Yeah.
And it's the right now, certainly the better choice. Right now, you've got a really good goaltender. I mean, he's one of the best 6 to 8 goaltenders
in
the league, right?
That's kind of what I felt bad about in this whole discussion. Is we've been talking about the UC Saros contract for 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
And the decision that was coming up. And I think it's fair to say you and I were both leaning towards try to move him, go with Askarov, get younger, restart the goalie clock, allocate money elsewhere. And they've not done that. Throughout this whole time, I've tried to make it like UC Saros is a great player. He's a great player. Now, I have questions 4 years into the contract. Is he still going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think there are some legitimate concerns there. And some legitimate questions about how is he going to age into this contract. Just like there are with most people, I do think it's a little bit different with him because of the lack of size. Like, the lack of size, he has clearly overcome that in his career to this point, and he has done it by being an incredibly efficient mover and an incredibly athletic goalie. What happens if that starts to go, I think, is a legitimate question. But, like, Saros is a good player. Like, Saros deserves this money. It was just the question was always, should the Predators be the one to give it to him?
Well, this if they don't draft Askarov with the number 11 pick,
then we're not even having a discussion.
Then it's no discussion.
Yeah.
And it's just, well, there you go. They're locked up at goalie, and now what can they do? But when you do that and you potentially could be younger, cheaper, but also special because Askarov does have the traits. I mean, we'll see. Like, does it all come together for him? Does his personality get in the way? Or does it eventually enhance his skills?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to find out. But I think it's going to be finding out somewhere else. And, you know, down the road, Preds fans may be watching him, you know, doing push-ups with the net in, you know.
Well, they're going to be watching him somewhere.
Montreal, like, or wherever the hell it'll be. And, you know.
It doesn't have to be next year. Maybe they are going to go for the next year or two and – they're going to have both of them. But the 8-year, that's what I've, you know, the point on this has always been, well, if you sign him to an 8-year deal, particularly if there's trade protection, which there's at least some, I think we would all agree with that, then you're going to have to trade him at some point. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily this offseason, although I'd be looking for it this weekend if I were Barry Trotz. But it's just, That's why, as you pointed out earlier, like the Rene Saros comparison to this situation is just not the same. It's not remotely the same thing. It's just not.
Nothing like each other. By the way, are Vingan and Willie doing the show today?
Yes.
All right. I want some fireworks. Get after him, Vingan.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed them.
It's been very good.
It's been very good, and this will be a great opportunity for Vingan to do the Lord's work and get after Willie on his.
Well, Willie's going to take a victory lap today. 8 years?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, like, Saros signing is not some huge surprise. It's this, like, how things are going to unfold from here that right. I really disagree with Willie.
Right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, I'm so sorry, dude. I don't know what I was thinking about yesterday. It definitely wasn't Steven Stamkos that I was thinking about that become a journeyman. But I listened that back. I was like, God, I sound like an idiot. I thought I'd never get to call you guys again. But I'm glad Saros got his contract. I didn't think I would be glad Saros got his contract. Because Jared's not wrong. And I've said that like 5 times in 8 years. He's not wrong. Like, I didn't want him because Saros is like 5'6", man. I don't want a goalie that, you know, my wife is as tall as. You know what I'm saying? And you tell me you got this Russian kid who's about 7 foot tall, who's almost, you know, who's a stud, who's coming up that we put a lot into, and I'm never going to get to see him play now. Like, that you've got to trade him, right? This dude's got another decade to wait behind Saros. No, like, you got to get something for him. He's first round pick, so I don't know. That's why I was upset about it, but I'm not as upset as I thought I was going to be. Saros is still a great player. He's just, like, crazy short.
Thank you for the call, Adam. He's not 5'6". Just point that out. He's 5'11".
Is he, though? Is he really 5'11"?
Well, that's a different matter entirely. He's listed at 5'11".
It's like in basketball, I know. It's like, okay, just it's like a couple inches,
you know,
difference with every
not
guy.
Not to pick on my guy, Rocco Grimaldi. But I think they listed Rocco at like 5'7", 5'8", somewhere in that neighborhood, if memory serves me correctly. And I just remember interviewing him a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, let me tell you guys.
Yeah.
He's not 5'8". I'm just here to tell you.
So at our pre-show meeting, we're like, hey, next time we interview Rocco, Izzo, that's you, buddy.
Yes. Okay? Yes. 615-737-1025. A lot of reaction rolling into the UC Saros contract. We'll continue to take that. Yaroslav Askarov with an interesting Instagram post this morning as well. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Given the Askarov situation, does that make you maybe a little cautious about including a no move in a deal for Saros?
No, not really. Not really. I think certain players, they get to a certain level in the league that they earn that right. So I think Kanjus is one. He should have some protection if we get a deal done. He's proven it in the league. So, but I do think, you know, in it has to have a limit to it, just like anything. And, you know, it's probably a little different. I talk about this a little bit, you know, just in general to, you know, other general managers. And, there's only one guy can play in goal. You can have 12 guys that can play forward. You got 6 guys that can play defense. So when it comes to some of those, you have to just be cautious. That's all.
That's Barry Trotz on with Jared Stillman the other day, discussing the no movement part of this with UC Saros. Nothing on that front yet, but I mean, that answer there is telling you that there's going to be some limited no movement in this contract.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that breaks down.
Yeah, that it was pretty much locked in at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like good question by Jared, but I mean, if you ask someone when something's already done, you know, they're going to be like, no, well, you know, I think he's earned it. I mean, it was pretty clear that it's locked in. It'll be very interesting to see exactly what it is.
Yep.
My guess is what your option of it kicks in a certain amount of time is probably what it is.
That's my guess too.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Could be a limited. I mean, he may have to. UC, we need a 15-team list of places you don't want to be traded. Maybe that's it. We'll see. Ryan in Nashville on the text line. Saros doesn't deserve this contract. What has he won in his career to this point? Nothing at all. Even when Pekka got his big contract, he'd won a couple of playoff rounds and had better numbers than Saros. Too much term and money, and he should have just traded him away. Well, when Pekka signed his deal, he had won one playoff round. He had beaten Anaheim in 2011. He signed his deal in November of 2012. They had not yet beaten the Red Wings that next year in the playoffs. Look, I understand the what's he won part of this. Like, contracts are more complicated than that. Like,
and not to draw a comparison here, but this is my response to Ryan too. You know, Connor McDavid signed a pretty big deal like 5 years ago. He hadn't won anything at that point. It's worked out okay. Like, it's more complicated than, well, what's he won? It's a team sport, guys.
Yeah. I mean, if Saros had entered some playoff series, and there was one, the bubble series, they should have won that, and he didn't play well. So his first chance, that was the year of transition from Pekka to Saros, and I think it was the right choice to go with Saros. He wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. Of course, Jared has to exaggerate everything. But he wasn't great. He gave up a couple soft goals in that series, and it wasn't good enough. But like every series since then, the Preds have been the clearly inferior team, the clear underdog in those three playoff series, right? In fact, he didn't even participate in the sweep against Colorado.
He did not.
You know, so he's played two playoff series since that weird bubble whatever. And
his numbers are actually pretty good.
Really freaking good against Carolina the first time, and he did have, you know, game one of the Vancouver series wasn't great. But I like, if you left this Vancouver series saying like Saros is a problem, or even like that Saros isn't good enough to win that series, I don't know what to say, man. Like, again, it's the same thing as just oversimplifying like QBs, you know, like wins and losses are QB. Stats. They're just not. So I understand. Yeah, I don't disagree with what Jared said about, like, at some point you do need him to steal a series. You do, for sure. But this idea that you don't pay, just in a vacuum, that you don't pay a great player because they haven't won anything yet is mind-numbingly stupid.
Well, and look, Saros, would you like to see, like, eventually he is going to have to play better in the playoffs than he has played. Now, how much of that has to do with the team around it too? Like, his career numbers in the playoffs are fine. Like, he's got a .911 save percentage and a .245 goals against. Like, it's not elite, but it's fine. Like, it's .911 save percentage.
Do you have it broken down by, do you have it by series?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So he's a .921 save percentage in the Carolina series, where he was out. That was his best performance.
He was great. He was great in that series. They won two games, and they probably shouldn't have, and he was great.
Right. Now,
in the playoffs.
The Arizona, he was bad. Arizona bubble, he had an .895. It wasn't very good. Now, there was a lot that wasn't very good in that series, but he wasn't very good. This one against Vancouver was .900, which is not great. It was .900 with a .202 goals against, so it was a very low event series. And I thought, if you watched him play, he had one for sure in game one that he needed to stop, that he didn't stop. There was probably another one that Zadorov scored that you'd like to see him stop. And one thing that I will say on him, and the numbers spoke about this year, and this is where I think the lack of size probably comes into play. He struggles against the screen, like in trying to look over people and get through traffic. He struggles with that. So is that going to get better as they move forward here? I don't know. But, I mean, look, game five, he was outstanding. Game six, he gave you every opportunity to win. He gave you every opportunity to win game six at home, and you just couldn't do it. And he was great in that game. So, yes, he has got to, his numbers need to improve in the playoffs, but you also got to put together a team that can score some goals in the playoffs too, which they have struggled to do.
Yeah, in a vacuum, just Saros himself, evaluating him, this money, his performance to date, all of it, fine. Like, again, if they hadn't drafted Askarov, then to me this is like a day of like, wow, Preds, good job. You know, you got that deal done for that? But that's – and a lot of people are saying this in the text line, so just to summarize what several people have asked, and it's a very – key point is, what is this? Is this a commentary on Askarov? You know, like Blake says, what if we're overlooking the fact that Preds have seen something to tell him Askarov won't be an NHL level goalie? Now, I think that might be a little strong, but I think this year probably there were some things they didn't like, right?
For sure. Now,
it's early.
And look,
but they've made the choice. It's early, but they made the choice.
Yeah, the choice has been made pretty clearly at this point. Now, that's the argument against that does have some merit. Like, if you didn't want to go through like a 2-year period where you were waiting on Askarov to be ready to be the full-time guy at a high level, then this was clearly the move for you all along. I just think the time, I go back to the timeline here. Like, to me, this is going to be really a challenging job for Barry Trotz to mesh these two things together. On the one hand, you've got Yossi, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist under contract for one more year, Saros now with an 8-year deal. Like, you got a lot of veterans on this team that are either in their low 30s or in their mid 30s that want to win right now, that you're built, that are playing high enough roles for you right now where they have to be your main players, like your drivers. And then you look at the pipeline and there's just not much coming up right now. Like, there's guys that we just don't know about. I have no idea how good of a player Matthew Wood is going to be. I have no idea how good of an NHL player Joakim Kemmel is going to be. I like some things about him. We were talking about Philip Tomasino and things we liked about him for 2 years, and just hadn't really gone very well to this point in the NHL. So can you find a way to keep your veteran players productive enough, maybe add to that in free agency this offseason, and eventually have somebody young, and probably like 3 or 4 guys that are young, come in and play big roles? Like, they have to have that, because if they don't get that, then they're going to be good but not good enough. Like, that's the problem that they've had for a long time, and that's quite frankly what a lot of Predators fans are tired of, is, yeah, they're pretty good, pretty decent, not good enough. Like, I saw, like, Jay Fresh Hockey.
It's hard to get out of it.
Last night, he put up, you know, it's at Jay Fresh Hockey on Twitter, and he puts up, like, a bunch of analytic charts and things like that. But this was just a tweet he had. It was like, the Washington Capitals and the Preds having a mid. It's just like, that's the perception of, like, they're always good. They're good enough to make the playoffs. Are they going to be good enough to break through? And does this help them do that?
That's the perception. It's the reality. Yeah. And, you know, so go back to drafting Askarov again. And this is not on Trotz. It's his predecessor. But go back to drafting Askarov.
Yeah.
I don't have that draft in front of me. Who should they have drafted instead? You know, again, if they're going to make this choice and commit this deal to UC Saros. Especially if they end up getting – significant asset back for Askarov, and again, it's probably gonna have to be in some kind of a package. Okay, yeah. But like, that's where when you do that, and then he comes along the way he did. Then to me, it's like, okay, this is gonna time out where he's the next guy. Well, it's not happening anymore.
Right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. By the way, UC Yaroslav Askarov with an Instagram story this morning of wherever he's at on vacation on the beach. There's a nice coconut sitting out there, staring out into the water, and it just says, the caption, everything happens for a reason. That's what Askarov has on Instagram this morning.
Has he removed his Milwaukee Admirals logos from his stuff? Is the city of Milwaukee up in arms because Askarov doesn't have his Admiral stuff?
It's still on there. Still, he's got a Preds picture on there, too.
He's a Milwaukee Admiral.
Yeah. 615.
For another year or two. What do you say?
Or another 3 days. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I still kind of freaked out by cereal. Anything that's like it's a good thing, you know? Find your victims and kill them.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do when you win.
I like cereal. Do
you? Go through the same process.
Okay. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
It's like your winning process?
Yeah.
Hawk-tua!
And spit on that thing.
They weren't correcting mistakes. They were like, you better not have another biscuit!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day.
That's a bouillabaisse of buffoonery, if I've ever heard one. But really, though, serial winners, it still kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Well,
like serial killers. Like,
just wait till how many serial winners he's getting ready to add this next week. Be surrounded.
I'm a serial eater. So real quick, we're going to get back into Soros because it's news. When you have news on June 28th, you talk about the news.
You lean in.
However, there is also news last night that Bronny James was drafted with the number 55 pick. You know, all I'll say about this is I'm glad like it's over and that's fine, and it's basically how you thought. It's better than like this idea of some other team being like, okay, let's draft Bronny and we'll get LeBron. Okay. So he goes to the Lakers. They're gonna. I mean, it's a cool story that LeBron and Bronny are going to be playing together. But like, he's not. He's not an NBA player. So I mean, basically, I get someone. Colton Pouncey, my buddy, who he covers the Lions for us for the Athletic. He had a tweet. He's like, it's Bronny is going to be the Steven Izzo of the Lakers. Like, he just gonna come out. You know, the 20. Point blowout either way, get Bronny a couple minutes. I mean, it's look, it's what it is. I mean, maybe he can grow into being like a rotational NBA player. He's only a freshman last year. I hope that like he is excited about this. Obviously, you're going to be excited about being in the NBA, but you've been rich your whole life, so I guess if I were him, I'd rather like be in college than like work with my dad at 19. You know what I mean? I understand you're working like in the NBA, but like you're not going to play, you know? And so then you're going to have to hear about it and talk about like, think about like the social media crap that will come with this, you know? It's just, I don't know, man. I feel like, gosh, another year at USC, like get yourself up to like double digit scoring.
Yeah.
Be in college. Totally. You're still rich, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah, that might sound better, but it's cool. It's cool for LeBron. LeBron's got his kid on his team and his podcasting buddy's his coach. So good for you. Now, if you want to tie this to Soros and Askarov, you know, Pekka, I think, I don't know if he's a father figure to Soros, but he was a mentor, right?
Even made jokes about it. That's my son.
Yeah. So now, I guess the idea is Askarov going to come in, and that's going to be – he's going to be –
come on in, Junior.
Like towering over his dad. It's just not going to – it's not going to be the same, man. There is no comparison.
I'm going to show you the ropes for the next 9 years, and by the time you're 31 years old, you're ready to take it.
You'll be ready. Yep. All right, Yaroslav, settle in, buddy.
Yeah. I got a lot to teach you.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time.
It's not in any way comparable to the Rene Saro thing. As we've yelled at Willie before, and I hope someone yells at him today. More about that. Somehow this comes back to Willie. Still mad at Willie.
Willie. Brian says the Preds will draft yet another goalie. The rant that follows that will be epic.
Well,
it's written. What if they draft the goalie tonight in the first round?
Well, here's the thing. I actually had to do like a little draft thing for the Athletic, and I actually threw in there like I think a goalie pick at some point might make sense to have someone else in the pipeline because they're probably going to have to move Askarov in some manner at some point.
I will be surprised if they don't take a goalie.
Yeah. So.
Now, I will be surprised if they take a goalie in the
boy, imagine that. Let's – you know, piss off as many young goalies as we can who will never play.
There's a factory. How many goalies we got around here? Oh, it's good. I'm interested to see, you know, again, I brought up an Alex Doherty piece earlier that he caught up with Barry Trotz yesterday and asked Trotz basically about the possibility of trading one of the two goalies this weekend. And the quote was essentially, yeah, it's almost nil in terms of the chances of that happening. Now, obviously, Trotz knew at that point that the Saros contract was done. So clearly, he's not getting traded. The Askarov part of it's interesting. Like, obviously, if you're Yaroslav Askarov today, you wake up, you see this, and you know in the back of your mind, at some point, I'm out of here. Like, my future is not with the Nashville Predators. Like, you know that. Does it have to be now? No, not necessarily. But you know that the likelihood now is you're going to be starting somewhere else in the National Hockey League at some point. If you're Trotz, like we have always operated under the assumption that you got to make a decision and trade one of them sooner rather than later. It doesn't feel like Trotz has operated that way. Everything Trotz has said publicly has basically been like, yeah, we don't have to do that. I mean, he's talked about the idea of having Askarov backup Soros and all this other stuff. I do wonder, though, like, with the situation being what it is, Askarov and the way that he could react to this, is there more of a willingness from Barry Trotz privately to just go ahead and do it? And also, like, if you are going to involve yourself, and he talked about this too with Jared last week, like, they're in on guys. Like, he confirmed it. Like, they are in on some guys via trade. Whether or not that comes to fruition, I don't know. But I look around the organization right now, and assets that I think you'd be comfortable parting with, it's not a long list. Like, Askarov is probably one of the top ones there. So I wonder if that privately increases some urgency for Barry Trotz. If a deal presents itself where Askarov can be a big part of the package going back the other way, is that – and is that an accelerant this weekend?
Yeah, you got to be open to it. You have
for
to.
Sure. There's no doubt.
And it's not like he said 100% close the door that they're not doing it. So yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. You know, I think it was actually Adam and Willie. They mentioned, or maybe they had someone, they were playing a podcast, possibly, but somebody mentioned, it's going to be hard for the Preds to not have Evangelista in some of these discussions. And to me, it's just like, man, like, if you don't ever have any of your own forwards growing into your – like, I get it, other teams, I get, like, that's the dude I like. But it's like, gosh, don't you have to keep some of your young guys?
If you're trading Evangelista, you have to have a young guy coming back the other way. Let's say that's who Carolina wanted, and you're getting Natchez back. Like, at least Natchez is 25, so there's some youth there that you could build. But to your point, yes, like, me and Adam figured it out. I think they were the fifth oldest team in the league when the playoffs ended, or like when the playoffs started.
Yeah,
that's, you got to get some guys and churn that. I mean, you got to churn it up, and some of that's going to happen naturally. Like, you're going to have some free agents that you sign that are 26, 27, 28, and yeah, that's better than having 33, 34, 35-year-olds littered throughout your roster. But you need some, like, 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds that force their way into that conversation. And I don't know how many do you feel confident right now that Yusso Parsonen is going to be a big factor for this team next year?
No.
Do you feel real confident right now that Philip Tomasino is going to be an 82-game player for the Predators next year?
Not at all.
Do you feel confident that Joakim Kemmel is ready right now to be an NHL player?
Probably not.
So where is it? Where are those
probably
guys coming from?
Yeah, I know. And that's why. So you do know. I don't know. I feel like Evangelista is going to keep taking steps, be a real nice player.
I agree.
So be good to keep guys like that.
It would be nice. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your reaction to the UC Soros contract. What should the plan be for the Predators as free agency opens on Monday? The draft tonight, we'll get a little bit into that and some trade possibilities that could creep up as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.